I introduce you, Matt. I don't know much more about you, Matt, other than you've had some time in Queensland. And I married a Brisbane girl, so I have a connection. I love the place. But we're going to pray, and I'm going to leave. So let me pray for you, Matt, and we'll do that together. Father, thank you for the receptive mood that we've been in regards to kneeling before you and not so much striving, but just receiving from you. And let that continue in our hearts as we hear what Matt's got to say. We pray that you to speak through Matt, as you already have, in regards to what he has prepared. But now, with what he says now, let us be hearing you, Father, hearing what you have to say to each of us individually, wherever we are. And thank you for Matt. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mate. Appreciate it. Well, it's great to be here at Better Blokes. And let's give a big hand for Dale. What a great message he gave earlier on. Great word. We've had a couple of coffees together over the last couple of months, talking and praying and looking at how we can kind of be a team this weekend. So I'm going to try and follow on a bit from that incredible message. And what a powerful moment praying together before. I really just wanted to start this session with a bit of prayer as well. And I want to actually invite all the pastors just to come up the front with me for a moment. So everyone that's a pastor, please just come up and stand up here with me because I really want to honour these guys. And they're here for the weekend, and they probably they don't have to preach, you know, they get a break. Come over here. And I'm actually going to ask these guys to be available at the end of this session to pray for anyone as well. So I want to just prep you. So you've got, you know, while you're listening, you're thinking, okay, how are we going to pray for people at the end of this? You know, look at these amazing blokes, you know, young and old, from all different parts of Australia. Handsome, good-looking, that's right. Young, fit, amazing. So let's just stretch out our hands and let's just pray for these guys. Just put your hands out, guys, and just get ready to receive. Father, we thank you for these amazing men of God that you have called to the ministry. You have called them to preach and teach the word. You've called them to be good shepherds. You've called them to be ambassadors for you. Lord, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be upon them in power today. I pray, Lord, that this weekend they will be revived and refreshed and filled up, Lord God. Lord, there's so much pressures and burdens that pastors have to carry in this day. I pray, God, that this weekend, Lord, they can lay all those burdens at your cross and that they can have a time of refreshing this weekend. Lord, that you'll give them revelation of what to preach and teach when they go back home. Lord, you'll give them revelation of loving their wives and their kids, of loving their communities, their towns. Give them a heart for revival in their own community. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that even though the devil has so many attacks against these ones, we just pray that every plan of the devil will be demolished against these men and every plan of yours will be established in their lives. So Lord, we honour them, we bless them, we pray your Holy Spirit will fill them with your power today, and we just commit them to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Now, you guys all available to pray at the end of the... Yeah, good, okay, good. Go and grab a seat, guys. Good on you. Yeah, no, I just was really, really thinking about the strategy of today, and I think, you know, Dale set him up. I'm going to knock him down. This, you know, I really believe that he laid a platform. And first, I just want to say thank you so much to Fred. Where's Fred? What a legend. What a great bloke. Never met him before, but what a great bloke, eh? Thanks, mate, for having me. And thanks, Watto. Where's Watto? With the curly hair over there. How curly is his hair? Can you believe it? He came into Vision Radio last year with no hair on his. He took his hat off and I was, oh, right, okay, you okay? And he's been going through the chemo, but look at that head of hair on him. What a good-looking bloke. Anybody listen to Vision Radio here, by the way? Yep. Hey, good on you guys. All right, well, I've got a few things today to just mention before we get into the notes. If you ever haven't heard of Vision Radio, we also do this devotional called The Word for Today. Who reads The Word for Today? Yep, great devotional. We can send you one personally, or if you want a whole box of them to give to your church, we can send these. And on the back there, it's got information about the Vision Radio app you can download, so grab those. We've also got a youth station for all the young whippersnappers, Vision 180. It's a great youth devotional, so I encourage you to get that. And also out in the foyer, I've got a couple of my History Makers books and a couple of History Makers TV series that I filmed with Watto, and John Anderson, and who else? Daryl, yeah, and a whole bunch of the guys. What do you call Daryl? Dazzler. I love it. That's a great new name. Yeah, Dazzler's on there. So there are a couple of TV series, and also a documentary about the National Day of Prayer in Canberra, which I've been a part of. They're all $10 each if you want to grab those anytime across the weekend. And I noticed that Dale forgot to plug his stuff because he was just too busy with the message. But, you know, we've got to get this out of the way early, mate, you know. So if you want any of this stuff, The Reconnected Man DVD by Ian Malin, who's a good mutual friend of ours, and Reconnect with Your Family and Reconnect with Your Heart. Really good stuff, Dale.
Give us 1 minute, yeah. So
yep. I thought I'll give him a minute to plug that. Yep.
His ministry went on a journey over a number of years, and Ian was a writer amongst us and said, oh, gee, we're just covering the same topics here. You know, there's umpteen key topics here. So Ian's a brilliant writer, and he's written two study series, and this has gone global. It's in a number of countries, this is about reconnecting with the Father and reconnecting with your heart. And this one's really about your relationships with your wife and children. And there's a DVD set there which has Ian and us fellas on it. And so you've got the teacher right in the room with you. And really encourage your fellas to consider these. I'll get some up there on the bookshelf.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Awesome. So, because, you know, Dale and I can give you a bit of teaching, some Bible verses, some stories. We can give you information, but really what we want to see is transformation. Amen. We want to see men's hearts open. You receive the love of God this weekend. And then these resources will help you continue in your walk with God. So going, these Reconnected Men, we do them at our church. I'm the pastor at New Hope in Brisbane. Our church is got 35 nationalities, and we've got a lot of homeless people and people with addictions. We run a drug rehab as well. And we've got a really messy church. Anybody here love messy churches? We've got a messy church. Trouble all the time in my church, but I love it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And our church is next to the Normanby Hotel, which is one of the worst pubs in Brisbane. And our vision is to empty the pub and fill the church. Have we got a heckler here, Peter? Yes.
No, I'm not a heckler.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call you a snake or a salesman.
Yeah.
Is your Reconnected Man anything like the Marriage Man that Morrow does over the week?
Nothing like it whatsoever.
It's nothing like Morrow's thing whatsoever. There you go. I just want to encourage you too, guys. I've been preaching for a lot of years now, and I know that a lot goes in one ear and out the other unless you take notes. And I just really want to challenge you. If you get a revelation, or if there's a Bible verse, or if there's a story, take a note. Now, you can do it on your devices. You can get out your smartphone and put it on your notes or whatever, but don't go on Facebook and start scrolling, okay? But I really want to encourage you, and I'm serious about this, take notes this weekend, because there's stuff you're going to hear that you're going to be next week thinking, what was that thing that Matt said? Oh, that Daly, oh, you know, you'll forget about it. It'll be gone, you know. It's our responsibility as godly men to be lifelong learners. We've got to be lifelong learners, and we've got to be ready to grow. So all the research shows that if you make a note of the stuff that you're learning, and you got it in your little packs and stuff, there's a much better chance you'll learn it and you can review it. And then it's not meant to end with you guys. You're meant to pass this on when you go back home. That's our vision for this weekend, that you have an encounter with God, you get your heart transformed, you get a revelation, but then it doesn't stop with you. You go and pass it on in your shed or your men's group or your church or whatever you're doing. So I really just want to encourage you, if there's something that God speaks to you about, make a note of it. And don't let the devil steal it away from you. You know the parable about the soil, you know, the sower where the seed goes on the good soil, and then, you know, the devil tries to snatch it away, or the weeds grow up among it, and the worries of this world, and the deceitfulness of wealth, all that stuff. You know, the devil's going to try and snatch away the seed from this weekend. You've got to guard that seed and make sure it's on good soil. So write down anything you get this weekend and make sure that you review it and get your heart into it. I really just want to unpack a couple of things from Dale's message before I get into my story today. I really just firstly want to clarify that Dale and I are very different kind of blokes. He's a very serious, strong, godly businessman, very switched on, very strong leader, you know. I'm just a crazy evangelist who loves telling jokes and preaching the gospel. I'm just being real. So we might get a bit of a snorkel view of God's word from me, Occasionally I'll become a scuba diver and we'll get real deep, but I'm just an evangelist. I'm just being real with you guys, you know. So don't expect too much deep revelation from me, okay? Is that all right? That way it'll be a surprise when I do get deep, all right? But I really loved the theme that we picked this weekend of wholehearted men. And I felt the Lord give me this verse, and if you want to write this down, 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." And I really believe that's a word already, right from last night when Dale got us to all pray through the generations, when Watto shared about his book, you know, when we prayed this morning. I just really believe that that's what God is looking for. Is your heart fully committed to Him? You know, there's a warning in Revelation that God says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you are either hot or cold. And I really believe from the start of this weekend, this is the word of the Lord for us this weekend. Are you all in? Are you wholehearted? Dale made a good comment. He said, "I know what it's like to be half-hearted in your work or half-hearted in your marriage or half-hearted in the way you raise your kids. You're not going to achieve anything, are you? You're not going to be a history maker by being half-hearted. You've got to be all in. Like what I said, you've got to open up your heart and get the guts of it, you know, and confess your sin, you know, get real before God this weekend." So that's what I really want to challenge you. Are you all in? Are you wholehearted? The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro across the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. There's a reason why you're at this camp this weekend. You might think it's because your mate dragged you along or because you just thought, "Oh, I went last year, might as well go again this year." God planned before the start of time that you would be here and that you'd receive these messages this weekend. So make the most of it with open hearts. Receive the word of the Lord. Just as we were praying on our knees before, the Lord gave me that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, famous verse. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." You know, we've talked a lot about Angus Buchan. He actually had 2 million people at a prayer meeting a few weeks ago in South Africa. Absolutely massive. People all across the fields praying for revival. And he would pray with his, he's got his Akubra farmer's hat on. He'd get on his knees and he'd pray. And you see the whole place on their knees. And as Dale called us to get on our knees before, I just saw a glimpse of that here. And I believe God's starting something here this weekend. I believe that if we open our hearts to the Lord, if we are hungry to receive from Him, if we will humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins to the Lord, you know, confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed, the Bible says, you know. This is a weekend where we just got to lay it all at the cross. You know, I met a guy the other day who's the happiest bloke I've ever met in my life. Didn't have a worry in the world. You'll like this one, Watto. This guy was a legend, absolute legend. Happiest bloke. I said, "What's your secret?" And he said, "Oh, I've found someone to worry for me." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I put an ad in the paper. Wanted someone to worry for me." And this bloke answered it. And so I said, what's the story? And he goes, yeah, I pay him to worry for me. I tell him all my worries and he worries. I said, "Really? That's incredible." I said, "How much do you pay him?" He says, "I pay him $1,000 a day to worry for me." I said, "How do you afford that?" He said, "Well, that's for him to worry about." bit of a silly joke, but there's actually a message behind it, you know. This weekend, I want us to lay all our worries at the cross. Lay all your struggles, all your problems, all your financial problems, all of your struggles on your farm, your struggles with your wife, your struggles with your kids, all that stuff, we've got to lay it at the cross of Jesus Christ. We've got to get rid of all, we've got to lay it at the cross. The dross, that's a great thing, Fred. That's a word for us, you know. We've got to lay it all at the cross this weekend. And I really believe that this weekend there is going to be confession of sins. There is going to be being honest and real with one another. And that's part of what I want to do at the end of this talk today. I'm going to invite these pastors to come. And if you want to come out and confess your sins, Just ask for prayer. Maybe you've got a porn addiction. Maybe you've got marriage problems. Maybe you've been dishonest with your finances. Maybe you've been dishonest in the way you work, in your employment. Maybe you've got, you know, anxiety or depression, and you've got this insane fear that you can't get free of. We heard that verse before. He the sun sets free is free indeed. We want to make sure, and Dale and I really felt it was important this weekend to go hard early. You know, often you wait till the last night and then you're all singing Kumbaya, you know, and finish on a high. We're just going to go hard early this weekend. I believe what God reveals, he heals. That was a good line. That was a good line. Hang on a sec. That was really good, Matt. That was a good word. Sometimes I just got to encourage myself a bit. I am mad. I told you. I warned you. Mad, M-A-D. Make a difference. That's what I live for. Anyway, what God reveals, he heals. And I really believe this weekend God is going to reveal some stuff that needs to be dealt with. And we're going to leave it all at the cross. And we're going to go back as new men, revived, refreshed, fired up to go back and take this nation for God. This is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, amen? I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And I believe he's raising up a mighty army of warriors in these last days. Who will be the greatest army the world's ever seen, even greater than we saw in the book of Acts. And I believe we're a part of that generation. And I believe what Dale mentioned at the start of today about being wholehearted men, about finding our identity as sons of the Most High God. What a powerful story he shared about when his father committed suicide at the age of 89. But he just got the revelation that he was a son of the Most High God, so he could deal with all that stuff. When you go back after this camp, stuff's going to happen to you. I always find that the post-conference blues after you go away to a conference or a camp or a seminar or something, you know, you go back and you take a dive, the devil's on your case. But if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, if your life is on the solid rock of Christ Jesus, no matter what storms come your way, you'll stand firm. Amen? So I want to challenge you guys. Make sure you know your identity in Christ. I love what Dale shared about initiation and, you know, about Theo and his son. And, you know, this is part of the initiation, bringing him away and raising him up. And, you know, our sons watch us, you know. My son Josh, he's 11 years old. And he's got cerebral palsy. He's got a right hand and right foot is a little bit limp. And he can't run as fast as the other boys. And, you know, he gets bullied a bit. And we're always dealing with this with him. But he is the most loving, joyful kid you'll ever come across. He's awesome. He loves the Lord. He wants to be a pastor. He wants to be a preacher like his dad. So great, great bloke. But he copies me. Whether I say the right thing or the wrong thing. So I get a little bit of a temper every now and then, you know, been a bit busy, you know, spinning a few plates. You get a bit cranky every now and then and trying to deal with that in Jesus' name. I'm just confessing it to you now. But like we had this little ritual where I still brush my kid's teeth, you know, because the dentist said he can't do it properly. So we've got to brush his teeth. And we go in and one day brush his teeth. And we always have a cup of water there next to the sink. And it wasn't there the other day. And I was a bit late. I was rushing, you know, and I'm like, brushed his teeth. I'm like, how hard is it to leave a cup of water here next to the sink? Who took the cup of water? Oh, go out to the kitchen. I'll get my own cup of water. And I'll go, you know. And I lost it. You know, I was just a bit cranky, you know. And put the cup of water, gave him this drink, you know. Anyway, the next day, I was unable to brush his teeth for whatever reason. And I said, mate, just brush your own teeth today, you know. Anyway, I hear him brush his teeth and he goes, how hard is it to put a cup of water in the... Storms off to the kitchen, gets his cup of water. Oh, I'll get it myself, you know. And I'm like, oh, no. They say what walks in fathers runs in children. What walks in leaders runs in followers. They're watching everything we do, whether good or bad. You know, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful. We've just got to realize that, men, we are role models to the next generation. And just with initiation, I remember hearing a story of an American Indian. This is a story I read a while back that I think John Eldridge, I heard him share this. He said that, you know, that the American father, the American Indian father, will take his son out into the wilderness, and part of his initiation will be he'll leave him there and say, I'm going to be back in the morning. I'm going to leave you here. You know, he's 13 years old or whatever the age is, you know. I'm going to leave you here, but I'm going to blindfold you. And I'm going to leave you here for the night. And if you make it through the morning, you're a man. And so the father blindfolds him and then walks off. And imagine a kid. Imagine how scary that would be out in the middle of the American wilderness with coyotes and, you know, what else is out there? You know, bears, you know, all that kind of stuff. And imagine the noises the kid would hear. Imagine how terrified he'd be. And the story goes that in the morning, when the kid wakes up and he takes the blindfold off, he looks over and realizes that his dad was there the whole time, protecting him, looking after him. And it was part of the job of the father to kick him out of the nest, to let him go out and learn to be brave, learn to protect himself in the middle of nowhere. But what a great example that the Father is always with us. And that's, I just really wanted to add to what Dale said this morning. We've got to know that we are sons of the Most High God, that our Father will never leave us or forsake us. He loves you because he loves you, because he loves you. He knows the number of hairs in your head, which for some of you isn't that much. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you speak them. He promised he will never leave us or forsake us. God is with us here this weekend. And we need to get our identity as sons of the Father. So we're going to have a look at a few Bible verses today. I want you to have a look at Deuteronomy 1 verse 12. And I've titled this message, The Heart of the Father. And I just thought about that. We're going to have a look at what the Bible says about real men and real fathers. And you know, the sad reality is that the world paints that fathers are all clowns. You look at sitcoms, you look at Everybody Loves Raymond, you look at, you know, what is it, Modern Family, you know, you look at all these TV shows and movies. They make men to be out like babbling idiots, goofballs that can't do anything, can't build anything, can't fix anything, can't parent well. You know, there's the modern way of the world makes men look like they're hopeless. But we need to ask the question, what is God's design for godly men? Why is the devil using every trick possible to prevent men from fulfilling their destiny? Remember that movie, A Few Good Men? It's a film about the trial of two US Marines with Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson, Kevin Bacon. Bacon. Sorry, I want to share with you the truth about the role in the church. And I hope you can handle the truth. You know, in that movie it says, you can't handle the truth. I want to give you the truth of what God says about what men should be. Don't listen to the lies of the world that we're hopeless, we're no good, we're past our prime, we're bumbling idiots. Don't listen to what the way Hollywood or the way, you know, the world paints men. We need to go to God's word for men. We need to see what God says about who we're called to be as sons of the Father. And you know what? One of the other lies that we're told is that in the church, it's up to the pastors to do it all. It's up to the senior pastor and maybe the elders and maybe the bloke that runs the men ministry. They're the one that do the ministry. That's the way the devil would want you to think about it. You know what? All of you are called to be ministers. Every one of you has spiritual gifts. Every one of you has a calling. Every one of you has a purpose. Every one of you needs to be active in the body of Christ so that we can be healthy. You know what Paul says? The eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The mouth can't say to the nose, you know. Every part of the body is needed for us to function well. Every one of you has a place in the church. Don't just leave it up to the pastors to do it all. I think a lot of people think that church is like a football game where you got, you know, 20 guys on the field and 1,000 people watching from the sidelines. It's It's actually meant to be all of us on the field, doing church as a team. Every one of us is called to play our part. We're all called to be ministers. So the first point today in my notes is to know the Father, you have to know His Word. You've got to know what God's Word says about being a godly man. You've got to know what God's Word says, and you've got to learn to feed yourself on God's Word. You can't rely on the pastor every Sunday giving a 30-minute sermon for your meal for the week. You've got to learn to feed yourself every day. I've got a 19-year-old daughter. Imagine if she came to me at 9 o'clock at night and said, "Dad, I'm really hungry. Can you feed me?" I'd be like, "Feed yourself. Go to the fridge. Get it yourself." Now, if I had a little baby, a 6-month-old baby, that was immature, then I'd need to feed that baby, wouldn't I? But when you grow up, you learn to feed yourself, don't you? The same thing when it comes to God's Word. You need to learn how to feed yourself on God's Word. You need to learn how to get into God's Word, get into the secret place every day and study God's Word, feed yourself on God's Word. I would have to say, after 20 years of ministry, this is one of the most important messages I can give to everyone, because it's perpetuating, it goes on. If you learn how to feed yourself on God's Word, you will grow. All the research in America, they did research, they spent thousands of dollars at Willow Creek Church, and they tried to work out what's the difference between a Christian that grows and a Christian that doesn't grow. If they read God's Word more than 4 times a week, they would grow. If they read God's Word less than 4 times a week, they would not grow, according to research. So it's up to you now. Now that you know that, it's up to you. You want to grow? Study God's Word more than 4 times a week. And I would just say, do it every day. Make a goal to do it every day. My goal every day is to read 4 passages of God's Word every morning. As soon as I wake up, I get on my phone and I read the scriptures and I make a note. I'll do my journaling. And I've got a journal I'm going to share with you right now. Does anybody here heard of SOAP journaling, S-O-A-P? Yep. This is where you write a scripture, an observation, an application, and prayer. So I encourage you to write this down if you're taking notes. Write down this, SOAP, S-O-A-P, it's an acrostic. SOAP starts with S for scripture, O for observation, where you find an observation about the passage you're reading. A, application, how will I change because of what I've read? And P, prayer, write your own prayer. I make it my goal every day to read through the scriptures. I read through the Bible every year. And I follow a reading plan, and I do that SOAP, scripture. I find one scripture that I get a revelation on. Then I write an observation, then an application, then a prayer. You know, over 50% of my church do this every day. And I know if I want to go and preach on a passage that I've just journaled on, I've just read through Ecclesiastes, we just did Proverbs before that. I know if I preach on one of those verses, half the church will have read it, and we're literally on the same page as a church. You know what I'm saying? We need to make sure that we're feeding ourselves on God's Word. This is so crucial to us. If we want to find out how to be a godly man, how to be a godly father, how to be who we're meant to be, we've got to know what God's Word says about being godly men. So start with God's Word. To know the Father, you have to know His Word. This is just an example of a journal that I did a while back, Deuteronomy 1:12. This passage smacked me in the face, and I wrote it down as my scripture. It says, "But how can I carry all by myself your troubles and burdens and quarrels? So select some wise, understanding, and seasoned men from your tribes, and I will commission them as your leaders." So this relates very much to the message today as well, because it's not all about the pastors doing the work. It's about all of us are called to do work. Amen? We're all called to the ministry. So this is an example where Moses couldn't handle all the people coming to him And back in the time, they're all coming to him to make judgments all day, and he couldn't bear the load. So he chose, here's the key, wise, understanding, and seasoned men from your tribes. And he commissioned them as leaders. Part of my heart for this message today is I want to commission you for ministry. Some of you think you're not gifted enough, you're not called enough, you're not trained enough, you're not old enough, you're not young enough. The devil's been trying to lie to you that you're no good. And like we said before, he is a liar. You can't trust a word he says. You know we have power over the devil? You know Jesus gave us authority over the devil? You know the devil It says that he's roaring around like a lion ready to devour anyone in his path. His bark is a lot worse than his bite. He may try to freak you out and scare you, but he's not as dangerous as what you think he is. You know, the devil actually doesn't have any feet. He's just got a couple of stumps. He just gets around on his knees because Jesus defeated him at the cross. Come on, that's good. The truth is, some of you guys have been listening to the devil, that you're no good, that you're not going to make it, that your marriage isn't going to survive, that your business isn't going to survive, that you're going to be able to serve in ministry. You've been listening to the devil, but he's a liar. Don't give him legal ground in your life to rob you and to put fear on you and to make you a pussy, a wuss that doesn't actually go and do what God's called you to do. I believe part of the word for this weekend is we're looking for wholehearted men, but we're looking for courageous men, bold men, that'll actually go and do what God's called them to do. I want to challenge you this weekend. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. Listen to what God says about you. So in my journal, that was the verse that I picked. And then the application was, Moses had the wisdom from God to raise up leaders around him to help lead the people. It says that he took men of tribes, wise and seasoned, and made them leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens, officials adequate for each of your tribes. This is doing church as a team. Too many people rely on the paid clergy to do ministry, but God wants everyone in the church to do ministry. Just before reading this verse, I was speaking to my wife, and this is my journal that I wrote a few months back. My wife was helping a lady who was a drug addict. Part of the job we have at our church is that we go around all the homeless shelters in the inner city of Brisbane, and we bring them in for a big soup kitchen every Friday, and we've got a men's shed on Wednesday nights where a lot of the blokes go to, and we've been doing the Reconnected Man there recently. We do Valiant Man and things like that for the blokes, and we have a lot of broken, damaged, addicted people. We try and send them out to our drug rehab where they have to go cold turkey, and that's a whole other thing. But, you know, we deal with these people, and it's difficult. It would be so much easier to have just a nice little inner city yuppie church that's clean and, you know, trendy and, you know. And honestly, that's how I used to be. About 10 years ago when I became a pastor, I just wanted the coolest church in Brisbane. I just wanted to be like Brian Houston, in Jesus' name. I just wanted to be like Brian Houston. I just wanted to be like Phil Pringle or, you know, like Peter Sweetman or, you know, all these amazing pastors. I just wanted to be like, and you know, I was trying to be someone else. We've talked a bit about that, haven't we? And then what happened was our church went through a big split. Half the people left. And only my true loyal friends stayed in the church. And we rebuilt. And in that time, God spoke to me. And he said, Matt, stop trying to be a people pleaser. Stop trying to live and be the latest and greatest, this and that. Just be the best you can be. Just use your gifts and your calling, you know. And then the Lord started showing me that he wanted to reach out to the poor and the homeless. And I'm like, but God, they don't tithe. We got money problems, God. We got money problems, God. How are we going to survive if we have that lot in our church? The families won't want to come with their kids anymore if we have that lot in our church. Oh, and I said, all right, Lord. I was a bit reluctant. I was a bit like Jonah. I wanted to run, but I just knew I'd just get eaten by the whale and have to go and do it anyway. So I just did it. So we started this soup kitchen, we started the rehab, we started reaching out to people, and Friday's our soup kitchen, we get about 50 or 60 people there, and I go around in this minibus and pick up people from the homeless shelters. That's my favourite day of the week. Sundays is all right. Fridays is real church for me. I love it. I've had Watto come along and share at some of the groups before, and you know, these guys, you know, they need to be fathered. They need to be loved. They think the roof will cave in if they go into the church because they're so guilty about their shame and their sin. But, you know, our church, we just love them. We just accept them. We just show them grace and mercy. Some of them are homosexuals. Some of them are pedophiles. Some of them, you know, some of the stories, whew, I've heard everything. I mean, nothing shocks me anymore. I've heard everything from these people that we bring in. But, you know, that's who Jesus would be going after. So my wife also has this ministry to a lot of the women in these shelters, and in my journal I wrote the other day, my wife said, I've got so many things to do and I was so busy, but this girl in our church needed me to help her move some stuff out of the homeless shelter into storage. And I've got so many other things to do, I'm too busy. And Jesus said, you need to drop everything and stop for this one girl. Be willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. And the Lord said, eternally, what matters the most? What matters? All the busy things that you've got to do in the day, or stopping and caring for someone? Are you doing what Jesus told you to do, or are you living for yourself? And I wrote in my journal, I'm not saying everyone needs to quit their jobs and just be a full-time volunteer. But what I'm saying is we do need to do an audit on our priorities. Make sure we have margin in our lives so we're available to do what Jesus has called us to do. I've heard it said before that God loves availability more than our ability. I love it in this verse where it says, select some wise, understanding, and seasoned men. The truth is, it's hard to find good leaders. It's hard to find people who'd be committed, loyal, wise, and trustworthy. In our culture today, when the going gets tough, people go looking for the greener grass on the other side. It's a good question to ask ourselves, am I the kind of person that Moses would pick out to be a wise, trusted leader? Or do I want to be that kind of person? Is it my goal? And then what do I need to change in my life to be that kind of person? So as I journal on this passage, I went through the observation. I observed what was happening in Israel at the time. And then I looked at application. And when you read God's word, you're not just reading a history book. You're not just reading some philosophy. You're not just reading some great stories. You are looking in a mirror when you read God's word. Every time you read God's word, you've got to ask yourself, God, what are you saying to me? Part of our problem as preachers is often we read the word so we can preach it to others. Pastor Wayne Cadero from New Hope, Hawaii, tells the story that he had a friend in ministry, had a successful church who committed adultery with a prostitute and was sacked from his church. And it happened over a year that he was committing adultery. So for a year, he preached from the pulpit. And he said to this man, how could you do it? How could you preach God's word and live that lifestyle? I'm just really curious. And the guy said, what I was doing is I was reading God's word and throwing it out. Just reading God's word and throwing it out. But what it should be is reading God's word, getting a revelation on it, and then giving fresh bread to the congregation. Reading God's word, getting it inside of your heart. What's God saying to you? What's the application? What's the mirror showing me that I need to change in my life? The Bible says, Jesus said, it's good that I'm going to be with the Father because there's one who is coming after me who is the Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth. He will convict the world. He's our counselor. He's our comforter. Now, I don't knock counseling. I think counseling's great. If you need to go to counseling, go and do it. But we have the Holy Spirit who is our counselor. That when we read God's word, he'll speak to us. I want to challenge you, when you read God's word, are you applying it to your life? Every time you read God's word, you need to ask yourself this question. What will I do differently today because of what I've read today? If we want to be men of God, if we want to be godly fathers, if we want to be wholehearted men, we've got to be men of the word. My prayer at the end of my journal was, Lord Jesus, as Isaiah prayed, here am I, send me. May I be found faithful with the call upon my life. Thank you for raising up so many godly leaders in our church and in our city and our nation. Help us do church as a team. Lead us on to victory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just wanted to give you that example because honestly, I could teach and preach all weekend, but this is the most important tool I can give you. If you can learn how to feed yourself on God's word, do a scripture, an observation, an application, and a prayer, it's the key to growing in your faith. It's the key to being transformed into who God's called you to be. If you want to be a wholehearted man, you've got to be into God's word. All right, the second point today is we must pray for revival among men. The verse I've got here is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. It says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, who will remind you of the way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in the church. I love Paul's father heart. You know, I believe every Christian should have a Paul. Excuse me. Every Christian should have a Paul who is our father in the faith. I mentioned like Watto, he's a father to me. I'll share a bit of my testimony in a minute about the fathers that I've had in my life. We all need a Barnabas, someone who's like an encouragement, a son of encouragement next to us on our level. And we all need Timothys that we're raising up. You older blokes that I've seen here this weekend, God ain't finished with you yet. One of the best, I hope not, absolutely. One of the best things you older blokes can do is find some crazy young bloke like me or these, you know, younger fellas and take them under your wing. Speak into their life. Take them out for coffee. Take them out for lunch. Take them camping, whatever, you know. Raise them up. We have a fatherlessness crisis in our nation. Too many men are caught up in the ways of the world. We're actually going to play a quick video clip now just to keep you awake. We're halfway through. It's intermission. This is an American song about the American dream. But every time it says American, I want you to think Australian, because there's a lie that you're sold here in Australia, that you've got to have the Australian dream. You've got to have the big house, the two cars, the 2.3 children. You've got to have the big job, the big promotion, and you've got to be busy. I love what Dale said before about how the Lord just said to him a couple of years ago, just be still. We are cursed with busyness. We're a prosperous nation. We are so blessed in this nation, but we are cursed with busyness. We've got to learn to sit down and spend time with our kids, spend time with new believers, spend time with the Lord. We've just got to learn to rest. So I hope this song blesses you. This is called American Dream from Casting Crowns. All work, no play, may have made Jack a dull boy, but all work, no guy, has left Jack with a lost soul. But he's moving on full steam, he's chasing the American dream. He's gonna give his family a finer thing. I've no time to waste, maybe tomorrow, or have time to play, and then it slips into his new BMW, and drops farther and farther, and farther away, cause he works on. Passing day, Daddy, can you come to my game? Oh, baby, please don't work late. Another wasted weekend, and they are slipping away. Cause he works all day and lies awake at night. He tells them things will get better, just take a little more time. So he works and he builds. But the wind and the rain are coming.
with the most toys wins. But if it loses its soul, what has it gained in the end? I take a shack on a rock over a castle in the sand. Now he works all day and cries alone at night. It's not getting any better. Looks like it's running out of time. Cause he worked and rebuilt with his own two hands. And he poured all he had in a castle made with sand. But the wind and the rain are coming crashing in. Time will tell just how long this kingdom stays.
All he really wanted was you. He's building his castle on the sand. We all know the scripture in Matthew 7:24. You can make a note of this. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Is your life built on the solid rock of Christ Jesus? Or is it built on shifting sands? I used to listen to that song sometimes when I was mowing the lawn. I got a big yard and it takes me about an hour and a half to mow the lawn. Sometimes I'd be halfway through and that song would come on and I'd be so overwhelmed and convicted that I wasn't playing with my kids. I'd stop mowing the lawn and go and play with the kids. Mow it, that it can wait another time, you know. And you know, that dad in that video clip, that's what my dad was like. My dad's a good bloke. He is an associate professor, has worked at a bunch of different universities over his life. And when I was a kid, he was a workaholic and a functioning alcoholic. He would work, leave early in the morning, get home late at night, wouldn't come to my cricket games or my footy games. Mum was very involved. Mum's a strong Christian. Dad gave his heart to the Lord but fell away from God, ended up leaving my mum for another woman and then another woman, and now he's living with a lady who's not his wife. And I'm close to him. We have good chats. But I've got a father wound. I had this wrong view of God the Father because of what my earthly father was like. And I didn't know it. I was carrying this wound around with me, thinking I'm not a good enough dad and I'm not a good enough pastor and I'm not good enough. And God's distant and far away and passive, and I can't really be that intimate and close to God. And then someone gave me this book by Jack Frost. You can write this down if you're interested in it. It's called Experiencing Father's Embrace. Life-changing book when it comes to men's ministry for me. I preached on this book for 6 weeks. I'm going to preach on it now for a few minutes. Experiencing Father's Embrace. And Jack Frost explains that there are 6 types of fathers. And whatever our earthly father is like taints our view of what God is like. James Dobson's spoken on this and researched this. There's lots of stuff on this if you look at it. We look at God the Father through the lens of what our earthly father's like. Now, you're welcome to write these down, but I'm also asking you right now, what is your father like? Or if he's passed on, what was your father like? And think about how it's affected your view of God. So the 6 types of fathers are firstly a good father. Now, a lot of us have had good fathers. My dad would fit into the category of a good father or a passive father. I'd probably categorise him in both of those. A good father is someone that is always there, looking after you, you know, wonderful, caring, solid, you know, and this is the only one that is different than the others. This is the only positive one. If you have or had a good father, sometimes you can think that God isn't good enough as a father because your earthly father is so good. So that's the only one that's a bit of a negative one. But we all know God is a good, good father, don't we? We all sing the song, don't we? It's who I am. It's who I am, and I'm loved by him. And that's part of the big revelation that Dale and I really felt that God's speaking to us about. We need to know that God is a good father, and we know that we are a son, and we know that we need to know whose we are. We are God's sons. We are loved by him. So that's an important message. So maybe you've got or you've had a good father and you've reflected that on God the Father, that he's not good enough. The others are all negative ones. Maybe you've had an authoritarian father, one who would always be beating you up on your case, laying down the law and pointing the finger at you. And a lot of people, I would hazard to say, a lot of Australians think that that's what God the Father's like. They think the roof will cave in if I walk into church. Lightning will strike me if I turn up at that church. God's going to smite me with hemorrhoids if I say the wrong thing, you know? People have this wrong view of who God the Father is. Maybe you've had an authoritarian father, and that's how you reflected on your Heavenly Father. Maybe you've had a rewards-oriented father. If you do well at school, I'll take you out for dinner. I'll buy you that cricket bat. I'll let you go on that holiday. Whatever, you know, a rewards-oriented father. And maybe that's how you've reflected on God the Father, that you've got to climb this ladder to be good enough so that you'll receive his love. How many of you know God already loves us? We don't have to prove anything to him. We are saved by grace. We are saved to do good works, but we're not saved by good works, are we? We're all saved with a purpose to go and do what God's called us to do, but we are automatically loved by God. God's not a rewards-oriented father. He just loves us. Maybe your father was a passive father, just always at a distance. And I would say that's where my dad fits into that category as well. He was a good father, but he was also very passive, just never, you know. And I found that that was my father wound that I was carrying, that I needed healing from. That I just thought God was passive and just wouldn't really care about my prayers and wouldn't really want to help me in my marriage or help me in my work or provide this for me. You know, I just didn't really have faith that God actually loved me and wanted to give me good gifts. You know the scripture, if a father asks you for a loaf of bread, he won't give you a rock. If he asks you for what's the other one? A fish, he won't give you a snake or whatever, you know. He's a good, good father who gives good gifts to his children, the Bible says. And I'm here to challenge you today that maybe you've got a wrong view of who God the Father is, and you need to get a revelation that God is love. He is a good, good father. We are sons of the Most High God. Maybe the other kind of father is an abusive father. Maybe you were abused as a young person. Maybe you were sexually abused, emotionally abused, physically abused. However kind of abuse you've had, maybe you then think that God is abusive towards you. And then the last one is absent, non-existent. We live in a crisis of fatherlessness in this nation. The divorce rate, the fatherlessness rate in this nation is terrible. And I believe the church is actually the answer. I believe, you know, the Bible says God sets the lonely in families. All these homeless people that we bring into our church, I've got this vision for my church that I'm constantly casting almost every week, that God is raising up spiritual mothers and fathers to raise up spiritual sons and daughters. And I challenge all the strong Christians in my church. I say, these guys, don't be scared of them when they come in. You take them under your wing and you love them, because it's your job to find a Timothy, to find a young fella or a young girl and love them and care for them. Men with men and women with women, I should explain. Spiritual mothers and fathers raising up spiritual sons and daughters. I actually believe that's the key for the fatherlessness crisis. And I actually believe the church has all the answers. God wants to set the lonely in families in the church. So they're the six types of fathers: the good, authoritarian, rewards-oriented, passive, abusive, and absent. And when I read this book from Jack Frost, he explained that he had this father wound because his father was an authoritarian father. And he went to this church in Toronto one time and he received this inner healing. He got this revelation of God's love and he received the love of the Father. And this is his definition of Christianity, and I want to share this with you. You can write this down. Best definition of Christianity: receiving the Father's love and sharing the Father's love. You've got to learn to receive the Father's love. A lot of us have a blockage. That lens through which we look to God, it's distorted our view of God and it's blocked us receiving blessings from God. You've got to get a fresh revelation of who God the Father is. Then you can receive his love and then you'll be able to share God's love. Because it's not just for us to get a nice tingly feeling and go, oh, God loves me and it's good for me. It's actually meant for you to pass it on to others. You're meant to let your light shine. If you view God through the lens of your father, I pray that you'll get a revelation of who our Heavenly Father really is. We need to know who we are and whose we are. Think of the story of the prodigal son. Theo prayed about it before. My good mate, Theo, from Denny. We used to go to Coffs Baptist Church together. Used to play Risk board games together with some blokes and used to hang out in his shed. He's a great bloke. But he prayed, and I just thought it was so good. Just think about the prodigal son. The son got his inheritance, ran away, squandered it with prostitutes in the pigs. And then he said, maybe I can come back and be a servant in my father's house. Maybe I can be a slave in my father's house. Right there, he had the wrong view of the father, didn't he? Because that wasn't what the father was like, was he? What happened to the father? When he came back, the father pursued him. The father ran to him. He took off his robe and he put it on him, saying that my inheritance is actually, when you take your ring off and you give it to your son, it's actually saying everything is yours. He took up his robe, he took off his ring, he killed the fatted calf, he celebrated. My son that was lost is now found. He was blind and now he can see. Our father is pursuing us this weekend. And whatever your view of God the Father is, if it's wrong, you need to get a fresh revelation that he is a good, good father who loves you. He wants to heal you. He's got plans for you. He's got a purpose for you. I've been doing History Makers interviews for over 11 years, and one of the most powerful stories I've heard is a guy named Stephen Lungu from Africa. This big African man who was an orphan, never knew the love of his mother and father. He made some bad choices in the orphanage. He was getting bullied in the orphanage, made some bad choices, left and became a gang member, leader of a gang. And he actually put notches on his belt every time he killed someone. And he said his whole belt was covered with notches because he'd killed so many people. He was in a gang that hated white people. He'd been brainwashed and convinced that the Bible was a racist book, that the Bible was against black people and it was for white people. So he'd been lied to. He had the wrong view of the father. And so he hated Christians. And one night, he decided that he would go and blow up a church. So he and three of his mates put backpacks on of explosives and said, at 7 p.m., all four of us are going to be at the corner of the church and we're going to blow up the church. And so Stephen Lungu, he hated Christians. He'd been brainwashed. He had the wrong view of who God was. He was a terrorist. He went there and he arrived 5 minutes early. And he sat at the back and the preacher was talking about God the Father who loves everyone. The preacher was talking about grace. The preacher was talking about the prodigal son, about the father that pursued him. And Stephen Lungu was getting mad at the back of the church. He's like, he's talking to me. I'm the one that's run away. I'm the one that's mad. I'm the one. How does he know what my story is? And I don't know if you've ever been in church and you think it's all about you. It's the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart. And because he was early, he wasn't ready to blow up the building because you had to wait till 7 o'clock. But he was so convicted by the message. He came down the front of the church, took his backpack off and laid it at the feet of the preacher and said, I was about to blow this place up with these explosives, but I've just heard your message and I want to give my life to God today. He prayed the sinner's prayer and gave his life to God and got a revelation of who God really is, that he's a son. And he gave his whole heart to God at that moment. And a little bit like Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus got saved, he wanted to pay back everything. Stephen Lungu decided to go to the local police chief that night and hand himself in. Went to the police chief, said, I'm Stephen Lungu from such and such a gang. I've killed all these people. And they, yeah, we know who you are. He goes, yeah, I just went to a church and this is what happened and I got my sins forgiven tonight. Here you go. And the police chief said, well, if they can forgive you, we'll forgive you. Didn't get locked up. Ended up going and getting discipled by a man that runs Operation Mobilization. Stephen Lungu now runs 10 orphanages around Africa for kids just like him. He was asked once, why do you have so many orphanages? Why do you do that? He says, you know who I'm rescuing? I'm rescuing me. God saved me. So I've now got to save others. We're not saved by works, but we're saved to do works. We're saved for a purpose. And it all started with a right revelation of who God the Father is. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we need to get a revelation of who you are. We need to get a revelation that you are a God of love, that you have a purpose and a plan for us. Lord, show us your great love for us. And Father, I just pray right now with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just pray in this place, if there's anyone here today that hasn't given their whole heart to you, anyone here today that hasn't said, Lord, I want to turn from my sins and I want to give my life to you. Lord, I want to be your son. I want to be born again. I want to have my sins forgiven. Just like Stephen Lungu, after that message, I want to respond and say, yes, God, I want to give my life to you today. Maybe you're unsure about your salvation. Maybe you don't know whether you're saved or not. Maybe this is the moment for you to say, yeah, God, I'm all in. I want to give my life to Christ today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if today you want to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to put your hand up and I can pray with you today. Good on you, mate. I see that over there. That's great. Another one there. Three. Anybody else? There's three people so far. Just put your hand up. Yep, four up there. Five, six, seven. Anybody else? Just put your hand up real high. It's between you and God. Eight, nine. Just keep your hands up high. I'll just get a couple of the leaders just to stand up and have a look. So Fred and Watto, can you guys just have a quick look at these blokes? And we're just going to pray a prayer for these blokes together while you all got your hands up now. Let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I give my whole heart to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give these guys a hand. Bless you guys. I really just had a stirring in my spirit this morning after Dale's message. I just felt that I really needed to challenge. If your heart's not right with God, you've got to deal with that first. And I only got about a quarter of the way through my notes for this one, so I've got plenty to do tomorrow. But I just really sense that this is just the start today of what God wants to do across the weekend. And I'm going to open the altar for prayer now. I know we've got lunch shortly, and I'm going to invite the pastors to come in just a moment. But if today you've been convicted of having the wrong view of God the Father. You've been thinking God is passive and not interested in you. You've been thinking God is rewards oriented and he doesn't love you unless you climb the ladder. Maybe you've been thinking God is authoritarian and he just wants to beat you all the time. Whatever area of your life, whatever view of God you have that's wrong, I would love to pray for you today and ask the pastors to pray for you today to get a fresh revelation of the Father. And I'm praying that people will get visions, that people, even tonight, you'll get dreams. I pray that God will give you scriptures and stories and testimonies that will make you come alive to the real view of God the Father. So let's stand to our feet. And I just want to firstly invite the pastors to come out here. And we'll just need to make a bit of room over the side here. And if you prayed that prayer today and gave your life to Christ, we'd love to pray with you today as well and make sure that you've got the information and Bibles and, you know, information about following Christ. But if you need some healing today because you've had the wrong view of the Father, you know, there's a special term that we like to use called inner healing, and it's a bit of a spiritual term, you know, but maybe you need some inner healing in your heart towards who God the Father is today. Let's all just close our eyes and just pray one more time. Father, I just pray, Lord, for all these men that are here today. As I spoke today, I just had a sense that there were some hearts exploding. There were some people getting a revelation. Yeah, that's me. Oh, I've been thinking of God in that way. Oh, I'm missing the mark in this area of my life. You know, the word sin comes from a Latin word that's basically described as when an arrow misses a target. Maybe you're missing the mark. Maybe you've got sin in your life that's holding you back from being who God's called you to be. Maybe you want to ask for one of these pastors to pray for you to get a deliverance from the sin and the addiction that's holding you back. We're here this weekend to deal with the dross, to deal with all the stuff that's blocking you between your relationship with God. Don't put this off, guys. Let's deal with it today. Let's go hard early this weekend and deal with this stuff, because what God reveals, he heals. So firstly, I'd just like to ask all those that put their hands up, could you come out and get the pastors to start praying with you? Because I really believe that's a priority. Those people that just gave their heart to Christ or recommitted themselves, can you guys come out the front first? And then everybody else, if you feel you need some prayer today, grab one of these pastors, or even just grab one of your mates and start. I've asked Dale as well, and Paul, some of the other guys, Watto, can you guys come out as well? So all the guys that put up your hands, can you just come out the front now and get some prayer? Come on, guys, don't be shy. If you put your hand up and you prayed that prayer today, just come out and get some prayer with these guys right now. It's the first thing we've got to deal with. If you've got your heart right with God today, you need someone to lay hands on you and pray for you and speak into your life. So come over and get some prayer, guys. There's a few others that put their hands up. Don't be shy. Come out the front and get some prayer. All right, now that's most of the pastors covered there. Anybody else now? If you feel like you've got the wrong view of the Father, you've got sin you want to confess, you want to deal with some stuff, I want you to come out the front right now and line up behind them, and they can pray for you next. The rest of you guys, stretch out your hands and pray for these guys out the front here, right?